Welcome back to this podcast series entitled Lipids, Hyperlipidemia, and Atherosclerotic Cardiovascular Disease. In the previous series, I've discussed lipids, the management of hyperlipidemia with diet, lifestyle, and the drug therapy of hyperlipidemia. In today's session, I'm going to really talk about some complicated or unusual at-risk patients. I'm going to look at sort of three scenarios, which is often a problem in clinical practice. A young, fit female who's found to have an elevated LDL cholesterol. Do we treat? Do we over-treat? Do we under-treat? I'll talk about a case of homozygous familial hypercholesterolemia, and I'll talk about high triglycerides. So in clinical practice, we often see the worried well females, postmenopausal females, usually just over the age of 50, that have a lipid profile done and are found to have a high cholesterol levels. It must not be forgotten that high LDL cholesterol in females is as atherogenic as high LDLs in males, particularly in women in the postmenopausal period. So women tend to develop atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease about 10 years later than men, but they are still at very, very high risk. And it's important to remember that atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease remains the biggest killer also in females, not only in males. So atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease is a much bigger cause of death in women than breast cancer, for example, so it must not be forgotten about. So when we see a female with a high total cholesterol, we need to have a look at the full lipid profile. Women tend to have a higher HDL than LDL cholesterol, but if the LDL is elevated, we must think about taking a strong family history. So is there a family history of premature coronary artery disease? Because that could suggest familial hypercholesterolemia in a female patient. We must think about excluding secondary causes. For example, hormone replacement therapy, estrogen therapy, raises total cholesterol, mainly by raising HDL, but can also increase LDL as well as triglycerides. So in a female with no family history, but with an elevated total cholesterol and an elevated LDL, when would we consider treatment? This is a difficult group of patients to treat, and in these patients, I would consider non-invasive imaging. So I would, for example, think about doing a sonography of the carotid and femoral arteries to see if there's any plaque. If the arteries are crystal clear, there's no evidence of plaque within the carotid and femoral arteries. If it's available to you, you can also do a calcium score, and if that is very low, I would not recommend treating a elevated total cholesterol, mildly elevated LDL cholesterol in a female patient. However, if there's a positive family history, if there's any evidence of atherosclerosis, plaque in the carotids, a high calcium score, women with elevated LDL cholesterol need to be treated as aggressively as males with an elevated LDL cholesterol, because we must not forget that the leading cause of death in females is atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease and not breast cancer. Now, what about the more rarer conditions, and one that must not be neglected or forgotten about in our country is homozygous familial hypercholesterolemia. This is an unusual condition, but because the prevalence of familial hypercholesterolemia in certain population groups like our Afrikaners, our Indian, our Jewish population is 1 in 70 or 1 in 80 and not 1 in 300 like the rest of the world, there is an increased chance of two people meeting that both have heterozygous familial hypercholesterolemia, and the chances of then having a homozygous child is about 1 in 4. So in our total population, we should only, of 60 million or so, we should only have about 60 homozygous FH patients. But we have seen, my unit and that in Cape Town, have seen over 150 patients with homozygous familial hypercholesterolemia. So this condition should be thought about in anybody with an elevated LDL cholesterol above 10 millimoles per liter, particularly if it presents in childhood, and if both parents have a high cholesterol, homozygous FH should be considered. Cascade testing is extremely important. Sometimes these young patients present to dermatologists, to the GPs, with little lumps and bumps between the fingers, interdigitally, and there a diagnosis of homozygous FH should be considered. If you suspect homozygous familial hypercholesterolemia, very elevated level in a young child, please consider referring such patients to a specialized lipid clinic, because for these patients, there are newer therapies in addition to statins, ezetimibe, the PCSK9 inhibitors. There are remarkable new therapies such as the angiopoietin-like 3 inhibitors, a drug called evinacumab, that are now available or under development that can reduce LDL cholesterol levels in these extremely high-risk patients. And lastly, that other unusual case is that of high triglycerides. And as I've emphasized, a triglyceride level of greater than 10 millimoles per liter is associated with a markedly elevated risk of pancreatitis. So very important in these patients is to exclude secondary causes such as alcohol abuse, missed type 2 diabetes, which can result in markedly elevated triglyceride levels. And you should consider referral of such patients also to a specialized lipid clinic. Important is the use of fibrates, because they are good for treating severe hypertriglyceridemia, but fibrates do not reduce the risk of atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease. They only reduce the risk of pancreatitis in these very high-risk patients. So both patients with very markedly elevated high cholesterol, high LDL cholesterol greater than 10, or high triglycerides greater than 10, these patients should be referred to specialized lipid clinics because these require specialized treatment.
Thank you, Professor Rahl. You have highlighted some very important points for consideration. We hope our listeners feel more empowered to manage these unusual at-risk patients, or alternatively, the need for specialist care at the mentioned lipid clinics. We are now at the final episode of our webcast series, so continue to check your mailboxes for the link. To note, the next webcast is suitable for patients, so please feel free to share episode 10 at your convenience. Until then, take care and stay well.
We are Novartis, and we are reimagining medicine.